Welcome in, and thanks for joining us for the latest edition of the Delaware Biblecast, a podcast ministry from Delaware Bible Church. I'm Brad Harris. I serve as pastor of administration and outreach here at Delaware Bible Church, and thanks for joining us for our 50th podcast episode. Joining me for today's podcast is a good friend of mine, a man who serves as deacon of AV, of audiovisual, here at Delaware Bible Church, and that's Don Burrows. Don, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So as Don joins us today, we are going to continue our series learning about those in leadership here in our church, and we're going to hear Don's story, his testimony, and some more about him. So Don, as we begin, I think those who are listening will be interested to find out where you grew up and a little bit more about you. So please tell us about where you grew up and what brought you here to this area.
So the short answer is I grew up here.
Literally here.
Literally here. So born and raised here in Delaware. I can't remember what year we actually started going to church here, but I did go to school here. So I was part of one of those first couple classes where I went K-12, graduated from here, and then ended up going to Ohio State. I think the Cliff Note version then is as I got my first teaching job, that was in Western Ohio. And being a major in business and computer technologies, it was there weren't too many of those jobs. So once I found a job in Western Ohio, it was incredibly difficult to find anything ever back in Central Ohio. So I ended up spending the vast majority of my teaching career in Western Ohio, Sidney, Ohio, and then New Bremen, Ohio. Then through a very interesting set of circumstances, I'll go ahead and share this, and mm-hmm. This is what got me back to Delaware, which I've been praying for decades, was I had an opportunity to move into administration. And so in the Upper Sandusky area, I was able to become an assistant principal and athletic director for a school. And through some interesting set of financial burdens faced that the district faced, after my first year, the beginning of a 3-year contract, and bought a house and had moved and was looking forward to that next life chapter. And about 6 months in, all of a sudden, we messed up and ended up being riffed, which is not fired. It's just your job has been deleted. That summer, the rest of the spring and the summer was a desperate search for another job. Interviewed in Marion, Ohio, at Marion Harding High School for their one of their administrative positions, which I found out later was already being taken by another administrator that wanted to move to the high school. But it was very cool at the time it didn't seem cool, but at that moment, the principal, after the interview, said, "Hey, can you stick around for another hour and a half for a minute?" And I'm thinking, oh yeah, this is going to be great. Coming to his office, and he said, "Well, I got good news and I got bad news." And he said, "Well, we're not going to select you for that spot. It's being taken by somebody else." But he said, "Literally, my business and computer teacher just resigned like yesterday." Mm-hmm. And he said, "And after we heard your interview, it was like, we don't even want to interview anybody else." So on July 30th, literally less than 2 weeks before school started, I was able to get that teaching position there in Marion, and was able to also, they also needed a volleyball coach, that's a whole nother book and chapter by itself, but was able to coach the volleyball. And what was interesting was I left my house for sale, and this is kind of a neat quick story too, was left that house for sale and really didn't get any bites whatsoever. And then in October, all of a sudden, here comes a couple through. They're a couple years from retirement. They have children that live in Sandusky, Ohio. And then they had other children that lived down around the Delaware Columbus area. And they wanted to live in Upper Sandusky, and they wanted a house just like mine.
Perfect.
He loved the garage. She loved the kitchen. And they were only looked at it for like 30 minutes. And it was like, I'll tell you what, we're not even going to haggle here. We'll just pay your asking price if you can be out in 2 weeks. I was like, I'll move into a storage unit. So all of a sudden I jump, and I had sold the house on an online site. And so I jump on the same online site, and I find this house that I end up getting. And it was owned by a lady where, as she's getting older, her son lived in Circleville, and he's like, I need to move mom to Circleville where it's closer. And I said, well, here's what I've got. And he called me at 10 o'clock that night and accepted my offer, and I was moved and closed in 9 days.
Wow.
It just kind of one of those things, because it was funny, as I was talking to another brother at the church, and it's like, you know, you hear, be still and know I'm God and just wait. And it was like, this was one of those moments where, well, there's that one part where, okay, make sure your seat backs and tray tables are in their upright and locked position, because mm-hmm. we're getting ready to go and it's time to move. And it just happened so fast. It was a really surreal kind of experience. And people are like, there's no way that happens that fast. And I was mm-hmm. like, well, there is a way that happens that fast.
It happened pretty quick. I remember when we moved you, it was just a quick process there with that. So, So tell us now what you're doing professionally, because some things happened between then and now that bring you to where you are professionally now too.
Yeah. So after that move, another coaching opportunity opened up that allowed me to start coaching the men's volleyball program at Delaware Hayes High School. And through that, I had a good meeting and a good relationship that started with the head principal, Dr. Strangis. And what was so cool about that was they had a dean of students position open up. And if anybody doesn't know what a dean of students is, another way to describe it is the chancellor of challenging personalities. so you could take that how you see it. And in any case, he asked me to come in on a particular Friday, I think it was mid-June, and said, hey, you want to come in and interview for this? Had the interview at 8 a.m. on a Friday, and at 10 o'clock, they called me and offered me the position. And so I had already been able to move back to Delaware, and now here I am back working in Delaware. And I remember thinking and was reading through devotionals and things at the time where you never really can see sometimes the road ahead where it's going to take you. And it was just really interesting how all of the circumstances God worked through to bring me back. Mm-hmm. And it was like his timing was really the perfect way to make it happen. Instead of, if I had probably gotten my way in different things, maybe most likely it wouldn't have worked out the way that it did, and how God orchestrated all of those different events and even other people's lives to open that door so the way he did for me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Appreciate you sharing that. Now, with that, I know being the chancellor of
challenging personalities.
Challenging personalities can be a position where it can be one where dealing primarily with discipline at a high school can be a difficult task. So how do you find ways to be encouraged in your faith while working with, at times, what can be a difficult environment?
You know, in thinking about that, there's two things that pop up right away. One is I have this little teeny orange Post-it that I've had now for 5 years that became like a verse on the first day that I started as a dean of students. And I've seen the verse before, but now I've just taken several pieces of it. It's on this orange Post-it right in the center of my monitor down at the bottom. And it's James 4:3, where it talks about, and it's just the words, quick to hear in capitals, then slow to speak, slow to anger. And those are things that whenever I have a new case that comes through the office, I'm pulling things up on my computer, and I see that every time. And it just mm-hmm. reminds me that no matter what I just dealt with, no matter how volatile that situation was or whatever, this is a brand new case deserving brand new attention and brand new focus. So that gives me a chance to just take a breath, listen to what's going on, focus on it, and not take, you know, the baggage or the extra from whatever I just dealt with into this new situation. I think another quick piece of that is, and I was just talking actually with one of my assistant principals about this the other day, is that we find that we can have so many cases that to see any light at the end of the day or the end of the tunnel is really, is it ever going to happen? And it's kind of like that t-shirt that says, I hate golf, I hate golf, I hate golf. Nice shot. I love golf. Mm-hmm. And so we can face that where we just have these rough cases. And here at Open Lunch, a student comes to me today as an example and said, you know, Mr. Bros, I just got to tell you, I love my schedule and nobody was willing to help me with it, but I am just so happy and everything's going well. My job is going great. And man, if nobody said thank you today, I just wanted to thank you for that. And, you know, so then you can have those moments where it's just like, oh, man,
yeah.
Man, I needed that.
You got to get the wins, man.
You have no idea how much I needed to hear that today.
Amen.
So
good stuff. So as you shared, you grew up here at DBC and at DCS, and you were part of one of our first graduating classes here at DCS. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite memories or stories from your time there that you could share with us?
Oh, boy. I don't know if we want some of those archived. but, you know, there's been some, like soccer was a lot of fun, you know, traveling to and from things. You know, you have some different memories. Nothing really jumps out really huge except the one thing when I was, you know, thinking about this question was I remember that every fall we used to go to, I think it was like Camp Peniel.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time I fell out of the boat as we were trying to pull him back. So I'm all soaking wet right before I leave. And Mr. McDonald gave me an extra shirt and a pair of pants to at least be dry on the drive home. And I remember we went to some other camp one time when Mr. Hovda was here and was the Bible teacher. And I remember that our cabin, and he was like the guy that was in our cabin, we're getting ready and all painted up, and we're getting ready for Capture the Flag, which is basically like Black Ops. We're ready to just get it on.
Absolutely.
You know? And here, some questions started, and then it turns into a conversation. Next thing we know, it's literally like 11:30, 12 o'clock. We never went to Capture the Flag. Our entire cabin of guys is still talking to him about these deep spiritual kind of things. And it was like, we're high school guys talking about this. But the questions just kept coming. And it was like, no, wait a minute. What about this? And there was no rush to go anywhere. We never got to play Capture the Flag, but here we were for the entire time. And then it was like, we hear the horn go off and it's time to go to the mess hall. And we're like, whoa, you know, it's just one of those really surreal kind of neat memories.
That's neat, and it's neat with that, too. I mean, for me, having known Steve Hovda, he was a part of my ordination council and that kind of thing. I didn't realize his impact was even when you were a student. I didn't realize he was here then. So
yeah.
All those years. Wow.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yep.
So with that, then, as we record this podcast, we are in the midst of a capital campaign with DBC partnering with DCS in our Building for Future Generations campaign. So through this campaign, we're hoping to impact many more young lives for Christ as we have the opportunity to disciple students primarily here at our school, but also through our other ministries as well. So can you share with us, just speaking of DCS here, the impact that it's had on your life?
You know, sometimes you always think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember I went through a cycle when I was in high school, honestly, where I was like, you know, I wanted to play baseball and we didn't have baseball. We had softball for the high schooler, for the boys. And I wanted to play baseball. The only place I could do that was Delaware Hayes. And I remember giving my mom grief that, man, I'm in high school. I want to go to Delaware Hayes. I want to play baseball and stuff like this. And mom was pretty adamant that that was not going to happen. Went through a phase of wanting to quit sports. You know, this is dumb. Why do I want to do this? And mom refused to let me quit those things. And I say all of that because at the same time, for those who know me from growing up, my father passed away when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was an absence of a father figure, at least at home. But so many of especially the men in this church and the men in the school specifically were just incredibly impactful to me. And so I say all of that is, and they just became very deep role models for me to the point where later on, as I spent such a career in coaching, that I remember at a national convention I'm speaking and shared that, talking about role models and how as a coach you have to be constantly mindful of the things you say and the things you do, not just with X's and O's, but in life in general, because you could be teaching lessons that you don't even know are being watched. And then share different statistics, stuff like that. And here a lady comes up afterwards and she said, have you ever told your role models, as you've shared, how important they are to you? And I was like, you know, come to think of it, I don't know I have. She goes, well, you better do it before you end up doing it at their funeral like I did yesterday.
Mm.
Well, now I'm feeling all guilty and stuff. And I ended up calling up Al Fincham and talking with him about that. And it was just a very great conversation. And and I say all that, it's not really roundabout. I'm trying to get to a point here is mm-hmm. that, you know, I think as I speak to probably, and I don't know if there's any parents out there who are going to hear this, but if you're thinking about, is DCS worth it? Is it going to be worth it sending it through high school? Am I concerned about the different educational opportunities like AP courses and things like that? I'm going to tell you there are other avenues, but the things that your kids are going to get out of DCS greatly outweigh anything that you can think of, at least in my personal opinion, that you might be wondering if they're missing. That the way the teachers work with the kids, the way that the type of instruction that they're going to get is exceptional. And this is something that you can't weigh course offerings because there's so many of those other things that you can pick up in different avenues. But what you get here is something I don't know how you're going to get that somewhere else. And that just the value of it is absolutely exceptional. And what they will take from there and be able to be prepared to move in, if they go to a public university or whatever vocation, there's things that they're going to get through this educational opportunity that is going to help them as they grow in those things that they can learn anywhere else anyhow.
I appreciate you sharing that. And with that as well, there are a lot of avenues that they continue to have opened up since you've been here as well that folks can get some more of those. Maybe it's they're able to do a couple things at Hayes. We have a couple yep. students doing, for example, we have one doing ROTC through that or a couple
yes.
of them.
Yes.
We
yep.
have some students that are involved with the Career Center or different things too.
Absolutely. So. Our DACC is amazing. Mm-hmm. Their opportunities and certification programs they have are fantastic and post-secondary enroll options. But what they get through DCS and the fantastic teachers and just everything that's going on here is absolutely worth it.
So there are options as well along with that. If you have students that are interested in checking that out, you can talk to the admissions team here at DCS. But Don, you had mentioned some of the significant spiritual role models, mentors in mm-hmm. your life. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to talk about that for just a couple minutes here. Could you share with us who some of these folks have been in your life and what did they do that left such a significant impact in your life?
Yeah, with that, to me, it's easy. There's three guys, and I'm not trying to be say that there weren't any ladies in the church that weren't important, but it immediately jumps out, and they literally start almost in order. It starts with Alan Fincham. I remember in sixth grade, he was the soccer coach, and then through junior high, he was the Bible teacher and stuff like that, and just a lot of those life lessons and things, and the one thing, this is a funny story. I mean, that's a guy that won't let people give up. And I wasn't the most ruley student, let's say in junior high, in early high school. And I specifically remember that here's a guy that I could care less about tennis, and it was part of phys ed. And I remember him coming over to my house on a Saturday, and I remember just barely being awake. And Mom said, he's upstairs. And got me down, took me to Mingo Park, and made me finish the tennis test. And I mean, and I remember being mad and grumpy through that whole process. But I also remember just how important some of the things that he talked about in Bible class and the way he reacted to certain situations and different phraseologies and things that he would say that just never left me through high school. That then turned to two guys basically almost at the same time, and that's Mr. Hovda, Steve Hovda, and Gordon McDonald. Gordon McDonald was our longtime principal, and as well as Steve Hovda being our Bible teacher, and he took over as the coach through high school. Just so many things where those guys were very, I'm going to say, intentional. It was mm-hmm. no accident how those men interacted with people, whether it was just short conversations, long conversations. I don't think there was any part of it that was an accident, how they went about building relationships and making sure how they would check in with people. I would say a fourth one was, at that time, was our youth pastor, Jeff Slider. Mm-hmm. Just those kind of men in my life, you know, especially not having a father figure, those guys really stepped up, whether they knew it or not, as a real surrogate in those roles. And I don't really know that I would be where I am today, you know, beaten, bruised, however you look at it, through mm-hmm. spiritual life and life. I think the story of my life would be much different without those men.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful picture that we so often see in the church where in your case, where your earthly father had passed away, where mm-hmm. when we don't have that spiritual influence anymore, the Lord brings other men in that yes. can help cover for that and help provide for that. And that's a wonderful story of that, of some great men that have been involved in our ministry here. And so now, as you've come back, quickly you got serving in ministry as you came back here to DBC, mm-hmm. and you serve as our deacon of AV, of audiovisual. And this is a ministry that we all benefit from each week. I could say that especially over the last couple years here, as we've added streaming, you being the architect of that, it became... in a way that I don't think we originally expected.
No.
We were a little bit ahead of the curve on that when COVID
right.
came.
Right.
But if you wouldn't mind, share with us about what the responsibilities entail for the Deacon of AV at DBC.
Oh, boy. Making sure everything's up and running. I think that's a big thing. And I think I kind of think of what we do up there is kind of like when I used to ref basketball and volleyball, that if the focus is on the event and nobody's really talking about the ref after the game, then you probably did a really good job. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't want any of our technological supports to be a distraction to what's going
right.
on through the worship or through the message of the day or anything that's going on there. But we wanted to enhance and support. Speaking of the live stream, that was something that I think it was the brainchild of Pastor Scott, actually, that it became like a talking point. And I was like, well, I think we can do some streaming to help like our shut-ins and
right.
stuff like that.
That was our original intent.
That was the whole point, was to just kind of help them out.
You're sick, something like that.
You're on vacation or whatever, and you still want to tune in. Hey, we can do something like that. And we had no clue that it was going to turn into something where that was our mode of church for so long.
Mm-hmm.
We also do some different things with like weddings. We also have done our funerals. I never had a thought that anything with those types of services and memorial opportunities that we would have the infusion of the technology the way we have and the use of that. And I would speak also to several years ago, someone had made a fairly large capital investment that we have the technology, we have things that we're doing, but because of somebody's willingness and ability to share has allowed us to really upgrade some things that we really were just going to make survive.
Mm-hmm.
And it has really allowed us to step up in ways and add additional things, such as many people don't know that until you actually go into the nursery, we actually stream the service directly into the nursery. So if you're ever working in the nursery, you can still see the service. You won't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a crying child, but let's see what we can do there.
Well,
with that.
And there's some other benefits there. I can tell you that even you don't see all the time, for example, school chapels. So Delaware Christian School, they use our equipment for chapels, for programs, for that kind of a thing. And so, for example, I lead a discipleship group, and I know Pastor Scott, Pastor Aaron, there's some other folks on staff mm-hmm. that are in the same boat, in that we normally don't sit in chapel.
Mm-hmm.
They broadcast it there online, and we listen in our offices, and it actually allows me to be able to continue to work on normally stuff where I can listen into the message, and you know, it's not a distraction type of a thing, more, I would say, mindless work. But just for simple things like that, we're able to enjoy that, and it helps us stay productive simply because we have it there, or
mm-hmm.
different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
With what you shared there, the way that I often communicate for AV ministry is that it is the ultimate servant role, in that if AV is doing their ministry well, nobody even knows that they're here.
That's our goal.
Right? So when you don't, that's when everybody turns around. Who's that up in the booth up there, right?
Why are the slides off? What's going on?
Yep. So with that, I know that, and we praise the Lord, we've had a lot more guys, particularly it's been guys. We're open to women serving in the booth as well, but so far it's pretty much been guys.
Right.
But there's always a need for some new folks in there to come help and do things like that. if folks are interested, what kind of background do they need? Yeah. What's kind of the info about AV if they want to serve there?
If you can push a button, you can handle 33% of what we do up there. So, for example, like the worship slides during the worship part of the service for singing in different songs and stuff like that, it's already created. You don't have to create that. We just need somebody to push the button to advance to the next slide. So that's one area. We have another area, which is the video, basically just changing from camera one to camera two at different points. Or some people, if you haven't seen our live stream, hitting a switch that on the live stream will go from the camera to a full slide view, or mm-hmm. if we're showing a video, it will show the full video, things like that. Our most technical thing is the soundboard itself, which literally, if somebody doesn't know what they're doing, within probably 2 days, two services, we can get them pretty dangerous on the board to be able to run a service. So
I hope we, I don't know if dangerous is the word we want to use, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But what you mean by that is, or with that, yep. I'm thinking to myself, so if I'm a person that is, let's say I'm a little bit intimidated by the board itself.
Right.
There's other avenues for me to serve other
absolutely,
than that.
Absolutely. We've got a place for anybody that, you know, has an interest and want to come up, even if you don't want to come up all the time. Mm-hmm. We can certainly find a way to connect anybody in.
So I know that you're serving in some other ministries, or you're involved in other ministries here at DBC as well. What else are you involved in other than AV?
Well, especially since the streaming, I really enjoyed working with our youth group in the Forge. However, I think especially ever since COVID hit and we started doing some streaming of prayer services, which was a really great thing that we could do back then, mm-hmm. I've not been able to find a way to connect or get back into those Forge youth groups. But I would just tell people, if you don't know what the Forge is or our Awana groups, and even thinking of the building program, if you're wondering, do we really use the space? Just come on a Wednesday and you will be like, how in the world do they get this many people in this many spaces and run this many opportunities for the kids? I think it's great.
Yeah, I can tell you for this 100 building in and of itself, between youth group and between Awana, I oversee Awana, that it's a pretty well-used space, and then we're also spreading out to other ones as well. If you come here on a Wednesday, and I shared this a couple weeks ago, actually this last week in a sermon, the building is used literally on Wednesday from 7 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night for ministry.
Yep.
And as well, you are a key member in my life group as well, so we appreciate you being a part of that. So, if you wouldn't mind, Don, share with us your testimony of how you came to trust in Christ as your Lord and personal Savior.
So I think with a lot of, you know, you look back over your life and you're like, what was your spiritual birth date? And I don't know that I can ever pick a specific place. And I've thought for years if I really could have. I mean, I do remember in kindergarten when Mrs. Swartz, Kay Swartz, was my kindergarten teacher. I do remember there was one particular day during recess when she would talk with us, would you like to pray and accept Jesus into your heart? And I was like, yeah. And, you know, I remember that. I don't remember a life change at that point. Mm-hmm. I was so young. But I do remember significant moments in changes throughout my life. Like, I remember when in junior high, and I don't know how it got started, honestly, but I do remember in junior high, I started getting in the habit of doing devotions in the morning and doing readings in the morning and things like that. I remember that became a thing that I wanted a part of my life. I remember that the music I was in a Christian school and I wasn't listening to probably the most appropriate music. And I remember specifically Rachel McDonald got me tuned into some Christian music, and that stuck with me for the rest of my high school career, to where nothing else really just sunk in as much as just getting good Christian music and listening to that. I remember when I went to New Bremen, there I am, there's no family over there whatsoever, but I started attending a Christian Missionary Alliance church. And I remember like the third Sunday, a guy comes up and says, hey, you want to join my Wednesday night men's Bible study? And we continued that for 15 years. And I remember Dan being an incredibly important part of my life and accountability partner. And I think as I look through all of that and I look where I am now, again, my life and what Christ has done in my life through especially the ministry of the Holy Spirit in other people, that growth has been very important. And I don't think I'm not going to be where I want to be until I reach glory. Mm-hmm. I know Amen. That. And I think I know one thing where I constantly feel in me that could be why I'm still single is I've never felt any place is truly home. Hmm. It's really strange. I mean, it's just a house to me. And somebody, what a nice home. Yeah, it's just a house. The only place that really feels like home, honestly, is in the morning when I'm sitting at my table doing my morning reading. This church feels more like home to me than any place else.
Praise the Lord.
I've missed it for so long. And when I'm here, I'm just like, it's just a different breath. It's mm-hmm. a different... here I am, I'm here, and this is where these past couple of years, for the first time in a long time, I feel like there really, not that I didn't feel God was in control, but there's more of a direction. There's more of, I am working in your life. Yes, I get your past, but you know, Christ has forgiven you. You Amen. Are here. And I'm with you through this, and I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So, Amen. And with that, you're not the first person to share here on the podcast, and I'm sure you won't be the last one either that shares. You know, so oftentimes we think of this really impactful, specific event of, well, yes, this is when I prayed this prayer or whatever, but what you're accounting for is the real point there, which is you saw that spiritual fruit in times in your life, events where it was made real. Yeah, I am a follower of Christ, and I'm growing in these ways, and the Lord's working in these ways. Mm-hmm. And too often, we see folks that would say, well, I prayed this prayer, but we don't see any fruit. Mm-hmm. How do we know that we are truly followers of Christ? Well, we walk in obedience, and we bear fruit.
Right.
And so with that, then, one of the gifts that you had mentioned, it's one that you and I have both shared together during this season in our lives, is that gift of singleness. And I appreciate you as a role model here within our church, who I believe has really used that gift well to serve the Lord. So can you share with us how the Lord giving you this gift has allowed you to minister to others well during this time here in your life?
You know, I think... especially through college in my early teaching years, it was like, you know, different friends were getting married and things like that. And none of that really transpired for me. I don't remember a day that I ever made the actual decision, but I said, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not going to bars. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to nightclubs. I'm not doing any of that to try and find anybody. If I don't find her in church, then I'm not going to find her. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to be looking anywhere else. And just those things never really happened for me in any church that I've been to. But what did happen was other opportunities the only way to explain it was God did that. So, yeah. I mean, how does a high school coach in volleyball all of a sudden become a national instructor for USA Volleyball? There were only three high school coaches and the rest are college coaches or international coaches. How did that opportunity come around? How did I end up doing that for so many years? In the coaching community, I was then able through clinics to like share my faith serendipitously. So it's like there would be times where I'm explaining a coaching point, and I remember one of my favorite things is to talk about in coaching where you have to have a really good solid foundation of teaching principles. Kind of like, you know, there's this proverb that talks about the guy who, you know, built his house on a weak foundation, a guy who built his house on a strong foundation, and the storms of life when they show up to both houses. And that's something that's, it doesn't matter who you are, the storms of life are going to show up, and your foundation is what's going to be able to determine how you weather that storm. And so what kind of foundation do you have? And I just got in the habit of doing those kind of things in every clinic. It's amazing how many people would come up afterwards and said, I know exactly what you're talking about. Are you a Christian? Mm-hmm. And so now I'm able to have those kind of conversations where there's no way that would be able to happen so quickly, and especially some of the public arenas where I've literally spent my entire vocational career. And it's been really cool how God has used that.
Yeah, and I can speak to the same where the Lord may not provide another person there, that gift, but he provides so many opportunities to serve him in ministry, as you've done through volleyball, as you're doing now and in the booth and the other areas and within your work, where it just fills up that space in your life.
Yes.
And it's not this, oh, I don't have this. It's, Right. Well, look at all the other things the Lord's allowed me to be busy with.
Yeah. And I think one of the, you know, just speaking to that real quick, I think one of the coolest things that somebody shared with me years ago was we've all heard like you take a half a cup of water and is like, is it half full or half empty? You know, talking about optimist and pessimist. And the best thing I ever heard about that was every cup is always full. It's just, what is it full of?
Amen.
And so I think, you know, when I think about, you know, the different things that God has done is like my cup, either I can fill it with my stuff, which isn't going to be productive, or I can allow God to fill it as he sees fit. And then I go home and anybody who's worked a hard day's work and you just feel happy, tired.
Yeah.
Those are good days.
And with that as well, I know that it's given you a lot of ministry opportunities to just, hey, work's over. I can step in and do something, you know? There's been a couple little old ladies that have come in and little old men that have come into church. I don't know how to fix this on my computer. Well, have you contacted Don Burroughs?
Right?
And you're able to do that where unencumbered, where another guy might not be able to in the same way.
Exactly.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
You have shared about your love for coaching and instructing volleyball. We talked about tech and some of those type of things. What else do you just enjoy doing when you have a day off you enjoy doing for fun?
Oh, boy. Well, you already said it, and you alluded to it, shifting gears. I love riding my motorcycle. I am not going to apologize for that one bit.
Tell them what you have.
All right. I bought a wing, so I've got a wing, but I've been riding motorcycles since I was 18. And if you don't ride, the truth is you just don't know. I'm just going to say it. And I know that there are some guys in the church that ride, and they get it. Because I tell you what, after a stressful day at work, and I've really learned to compartmentalize. And honestly, I feel that's far more a ministry of God that has allowed me. That is a true gift, because I know some people that just can't do that. Mm-hmm. And I have learned to leave work at work, and it really does help. But to be able to just get out and ride through the country and stuff like that, I absolutely do truly enjoy that. And as strange as it also sounds, I enjoy volunteer projects. One of the things, especially during COVID, and I will be the only person who ever says this out loud, probably anywhere in the country, but I loved 2020. It gave me so many opportunities to like work on things for folks, and I helped somebody build a deck.
Helped your buddy Brad build a fence.
Yeah, we built a fence, and those kind of things, it's like some people like dread retirement and they just want to sit around. I can hardly wait for retirement and be able to do more of those kind of volunteer projects, because those absolutely are just so much fun for me, especially demolition. You need anything tore up, I am totally in.
Well, and it gave you a big opportunity too. And we saw through this just accelerating a lot of the things that we wanted to do up in the booth.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Dean of Students has a little bit of time on his hands when there's no kids getting in trouble at school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So, Don, do you have a favorite Bible verse or a life verse or one that the Lord just really used to really impact your life?
You know, there's one of the things that Jeff Slider turned me on to was memorizing a verse a week. And it probably wasn't the best time to study, but the one time that I could find to study was on the drive back and forth to Ohio State. So I had verse cards. So yes, it wasn't distracted driving back then because we didn't have that term.
Right.
But yeah, I was using flashcards while I'm driving.
Well, you stop and you can look.
And one that just, man, this is the one verse, and I'm not going to say it's on a plaque in my house, but I know it's a verse that, and it's two verses that this, man, that's the kind of attitude I want. And I always hope that I'm reading it right, but this is who I want to be. It's Daniel 3:17-18. And it's when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's like, hey guys, you need to go ahead and you need to bow down or we're going to fry you, you know, kind of thing. And they're like, you know, if you throw us into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he's able to save us from your hand. And even if he doesn't, O King, we want you to know we're not bowing down or serving any gods you've set up. And to me, that is, I'm just like, that's who I want to be. I want to be that whatever's going on, you know, render to Caesar what Caesar, I get it. And there are certain things, here's the policies that's in all the public schools I've been in. But I know that there is a line in that sand that at some point it's time for me to go. Or I can't support that. So what happens now? And I know that I want to be that there is those lines that at some point it's going to be, I'm choosing God's way. Mm-hmm. And I've learned over the years and have fallen in many aspects of my life where I've chosen that, you know what, I am going to go ahead and bow down. And I look back that those have been the times where God said, I'm still here. I haven't left you, but you got to understand, just like the Israelites, how many times have we said, follow, and the blessings of God are going to be there. Mm-hmm. And so I find myself more and more leaning toward him and trusting his path and direction in my life because of that.
Amen. Appreciate you sharing that. Last question for today. What is something recently that the Lord has been teaching you?
So where I am, this one thing, and you know, when I saw this question on the sheet here, I was like, it's pretty cool because Pastor Scott and you and Pastor Aaron have said it, you know, through different messages, the importance of take God at his word and read mm-hmm. his word, because the more you get in, you're going to find, you know, there's a spiritual hunger that's only going to be, you know, satisfied, you know, in God and reading his word. And so I took it on this year of reading through the Bible. Mm-hmm. I think I've tried that several times and I know I failed. I just didn't get through it. And I find myself, especially here as the year moves on and it's toward the end. And it literally in the past, I'd say 3 weeks, literally, I'm sitting here thinking, and it's like, man, I got to get home. Oh, wait, I did see I'm going to be reading this. Oh, cool. And so now it's even something, it's like, I'm not looking, yeah, I might be having a pizza or whatever, but, mm-hmm. and you know, I might be thinking, what's for dinner tonight? And I know that God has brought to my mind more in the past couple weeks, and I can't explain it why, other than that's what God's doing. He's like, man, I want to talk to you about some stuff, and you're going to find it here. And it's amazing how many times it's like, how did he plan out that situation that here's what I dealt with today, and here he's talking about it in Ezekiel, mm-hmm. you know, kind of things. And that has just been, oh, that's cool.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, brother, we appreciate you coming in and sharing with us today. Appreciate your ministry to our church, and personally, I appreciate our friendship. Thanks for joining us today as well. Thank you for everyone for listening in and learning more about my buddy Don. So Don, thanks again for joining us. Thank you all for listening in. We hope you have a wonderful week, and we look forward to sharing with you again here next week.